You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that always tosses a coin to its witcher. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Samantha.
Oh, hey, thank you all for tuning in this week. Happy 2020, everybody. First one of the year.
The only time I'm ever going to see 2020.
Aww, and I made it sad.
He's got bad vision, folks.
Bad vision is an understatement. I'm surprised they give me a driver's license.
Aww. Hey, let's shuffle on past all this sad stuff. So, we have a great show for you this week. A bunch of news. We're actually going to be talking about Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker. But first, we're going to get into some things we've been checking out over the past couple weeks. I guess it's been a little while.
Yeah, we got plenty of stuff this time.
We do. I think.
Since I mentioned The Witcher in the opening, I guess I could talk about The Witcher.
Yeah, sure.
Which is pretty good.
Good.
What?
Which
is pretty good. It's on Netflix. It's a new TV series based more on the novels than the game of The Witcher.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Henry Cavill and some other people. I don't know. I don't think there's anybody else big in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good. I think Henry Cavill's the weakest link in the whole show, which is not great because he's the main character, but I just don't think he's a good pick for Geralt.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I just don't think he looks like him at all.
No, he doesn't really look like him. His voice sounds like he's doing an impression of the guy from the game.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Hey, let's back it up for just a second. What is The Witcher about? What's the elevator pitch for The Witcher?
The Witcher is like a fantasy, medieval fantasy thing where The Witcher is like a mutated human who hunts monsters.
Okay.
As his job.
He just travels around, kind of helping people.
Yeah, hunting monsters and getting it on with sorceresses.
I mean, I played the Witcher games. That tracks.
Yeah,
that sounds about right.
Netflix very clearly wants it to be their Game of Thrones, which...
Sure.
I mean, it's not really the same thing. But they do try to put a bunch of political stuff in it, like Game of Thrones.
Oh, gotcha.
There's elements of that in the games.
Yeah, but it's not... I mean, I haven't seen a whole lot of Game of Thrones. I've watched about 11 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't feel the same to me. There's more of a focus on one character, for one, in The Witcher. Whereas, you know, Game of Thrones is this huge, like, chessboard of characters off each other.
Right, yeah.
We haven't watched the whole thing yet. We've only watched, I think, two episodes.
Three?
Two or three. So maybe Henry Cavill gets better at being Geralt, but
it's like they just wanted a big slab of beef.
Yeah, big beef man. I mean, he's not old enough either.
Yeah.
Well, isn't this supposed to be kind of like an early Witcher story?
It might be. I don't know.
I thought I read somewhere that I think it takes place before the first book.
Oh.
Mm.
But I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
He seems really wooden. But it's still an enjoyable show otherwise.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's one that I've been kind of looking at jumping into. I just haven't had a chance to start it up. And
dedicate time to it.
Yeah.
Because every episode's like an hour, so.
See, that's it. Yeah. Yeah.
See, at least The Mandalorian, every episode was like half an hour.
Yes. Yes, I love that.
Well, hey, you just mentioned The Mandalorian. Why don't you talk about The Mandalorian?
Oh, man. I love that
DeLorean.
Show. Yes. I love that show. Yeah. It is so good.
It's like my favorite show of the decade. That might be overstating it. But.
I don't know, man. I haven't enjoyed a ancillary story to Star Wars in a long time.
I haven't enjoyed a Star Wars story as much as I enjoy The Mandalorian since I saw the original Star Wars movies as a child.
Wow, that's...
Well, here's the thing. Mandalorian proves that you can change the genre of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
It still feels like Star Wars, but it also still feels something new.
Right, and it doesn't always have to be about Vader...
Space Wizards.
And Space Wizards and Skywalkers and all sorts of other of that.
If anything, it really doubles down on a lot of ancillary themes of Star Wars. A lot of the... the Japanese influence of Star Wars is in there.
Sure.
Like the Seven Samurai. Seven Samurai.
There's like a full episode that's just Seven Samurai.
The Lone Wolf and Cub is obviously a big influence.
Very big influence, sure.
And you know, in 70s Italian spaghetti westerns.
Yeah.
Yeah, although those first couple episodes, for sure. That first one absolutely was very spaghetti western.
God, it's so good. And like even all the guest actors or whatever are pretty good.
Oh, they're all great. And they're all people that you wouldn't really expect to be in a Star Wars, too. Like,
Gina Carano is really good.
She's so good.
I love her.
She's my favorite character on the show.
Why is that?
Because.
Is it because she's big, strong lady?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Just like everybody. And it took me a minute to realize who... I don't know. Are we going to get spoilery on this?
Let's do light spoilers, but not like full on.
Well, there's like an Imperial officer guy that shows up in the last two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't place where I'd seen him before. I was like, where do I know you? Where do I know you? And he is a character. He played the character Gus in Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't even recognize that was him.
I mean, he doesn't look any different other than wearing like, you know, black Imperial armor versus, you know, a suit. With a chicken logo.
Carl Weathers is so good.
Oh, God. He's amazing.
Yeah, he's really good on it.
Yeah, like, I really didn't care for him in the beginning, but he definitely grew on me, like, the last few episodes he popped on. But there's still so many questions in the series, too.
That's why we're getting another season.
Yeah. Wait till fall.
Hey, that's fine. Take all the time you need.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, don't rush it.
Make them good, not make them fast.
Yes. Yes.
It's the Venture Brothers way of doing it.
Yes, do that.
Yeah.
But man, it's so good. And like those last couple episodes are just bananas. Like it's goes to 11, like hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like doubles down on the violence of the show.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Like a lot of times when people get shot, they're just disintegrated.
I don't know. Because like you had episode one where dude gets cut in half by door. And, you know, and then there's like flambe of Stormtrooper. And then we get into the last couple episodes where you see like, you know, Stormtroopers like literally getting their heads cracked open.
It's still very PG-13.
It is, but as far as Star Wars goes, it's pretty violent.
Probably because of it being a television, in a televised television style format, maybe the little extra bit of...
Well, I like the fact that they're pushing the envelope a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Well, they're
that's
not beholden to the MPAA either. It goes straight to Disney Zone.
Yeah. speaking of things that aren't beholden to the MPAA and also vaguely Venture Brothers-like, I have been watching Harley Quinn, the show on DC Universe.
As have I.
Yeah, you guys have too. And what do you think?
It's super great.
Very good.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
So I'd say like the best thing that DC Universe has got going on.
I don't know. I haven't watched
Doom Patrol's very good, and Swamp Thing was very good as well. But like this is, I want to see more shows set in this version of the DC Universe because it's just Venture Brothers, but they get to use licensed characters, so you get the neat juxtaposition of like these known characters that you've known, you know, forever. But they're saying and doing things just slightly, just not even out of character, but just slightly kind of out of left field that...
Like Harley's, like, you know, never-ending stream of potty mouth.
Well, yeah, that, but like, well, like Bane. Yeah.
Or Clayface is a good example.
Clayface is a great example.
He's a super exaggerated actor.
Shakespearean actor! And he's great. Like the cast of characters that they pulled for this is super good. There isn't a character, a main name character on the show that I don't enjoy.
Yeah, even Dr. Psycho, who I thought might be.
I think it'd be a bit much. Yeah,
is hilarious.
Yeah, you know that's a Buster Bluth doing the voice of Dr. Psycho, which is great.
King Shark is good.
King Shark,
he's so gentle. If he's not in bloodlust mode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think it's great they got Jason Alexander to play Cyborg Man.
I saw a clip where he popped up. I was like, hey, yes, I know him.
He's Ivy's landlord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he comes in on his little motorized scooter with his one robot arm and one robot leg. No, the newest episode, the whole thing, the B-plot is he has to call in. In the 60s, he was a James Bond-esque like spy. And he has to call one of his contacts to take care of something. And it's like these two super retired, like James Bond-esque type characters, like bickering like an old married couple while they're doing this thing. And it's
so
great.
like Red Mantle and Red Dragoon, or Red Mantle and, what was his name? Dragoon from Venture Brothers.
Kinda.
Like
yeah.
The two guys who got sewn together.
Yeah, a little, sorta, a little bit. But no, everything about the show I've been really enjoying. I'm glad they got Diedrich Bader as Batman.
Yeah.
I think that's a great choice.
I initially wasn't enthused about Kaylee
Cuoco
as Harley, but she's grown on me a ton.
She, you know what? I'm okay with her not having the over-exaggerated, like, New York accent. Because she's, like... She's swapped it out with just screaming.
Yeah, and it's hilarious screaming.
Mm-hmm.
She's all in, like...
Oh, she's definitely all in on it. Poison Ivy is great as, like, the voice of reason, kind of.
The dead,
which
dead
is kind
band,
of funny.
Like
the Daria.
Daria-esque voice of
she's
reason.
She's just kind
of,
yeah, that's great.
They always swap out her outfits a lot, too. She
they
has,
do.
Like, a lot of cute outfits.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Alan Tudyk does a great job as Joker. He is doing his impression of Mark Hamill doing the Joker. So every once in a while, it doesn't quite sound like him, but there are bits where I go, is that?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, I watched like a clip of it and I was like, I heard like a twinge in his voice and I'm like, King Candy?
Yeah, a little bit. It's a little bit of that. But
it's a different interpretation of the Joker too.
Yes.
Like, he is a jerk.
He's just a jerk. Yeah. He's an absolute.
To everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a more realistic, like, this is what people would think of the Joker in real life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you've watched all of it so far. Do you think that they wrote the Maxie Zeus character for Patrick Warburton?
It does seem
and
that
couldn't,
way, yeah.
And couldn't get him?
Yeah.
Because, like, he does the warble in the voice and the deep,
yeah.
Like, yeah, basically. But
I thought Maxie Zeus was a nice deep pool.
Yeah, it was a good take, and he's probably one of the most like altered from his comic book form, because Maxie Zeus in the comics was this guy who thought the Joker was cool and also thought like Greek like
was his thing,
so he just was like the Greek Joker. Maxie Zeus in this one is like a inspirational speaker about, you know, becoming a villain. He's also a huge tool.
Oh yeah, I watched the clip. I know his deal.
Yeah, it's great. But no, I can't say enough good things about this. It's everybody go watch it.
Yeah, I went in not expecting a whole lot. Like,
same here.
I thought it'd be about as good as that Batman and Harley Quinn movie they did.
Yeah,
maybe a little better. It blows that out of the water.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, from what like I said, I haven't watched the whole thing, but every bit I have seen is like, oh, this is great. I hope this isn't just all the good bits.
Oh, no, no, it's all good.
Now you have to come to my cool crimes.
Frankie Muniz is in an episode.
Who's he play?
He plays child actor Frankie Muniz. Well, like, they go inside Harley's brain, and, her psyche is trying to attack because they think that, you know, they're all, like, foreign bodies inside her psyche or whatever. And her body creates like a protective like thing for them, and it's her first crush, child actor Frankie Muniz. Oh, super
I'm
good,
Frankie Muniz. Clayface.
Yeah, Clayface turning into Frankie Muniz. Come hither, girls. It is I, Frankie Muniz. Oh, so good.
Her family is just the married with children family.
It is. Yeah, that's it. Oh, yeah. I can't get enough of this show. I can't wait. The next episode is out tonight, I think. And I need to watch that.
That is just a good, like, Harley Quinn is kind of a Kelly Bundy.
She is kind of.
It works.
It works. Yeah. Yeah. And I like that the show, while it has all this goofy, crazy stuff going on, and it is, I mean, it is filthy. I mean, there's a lot of swearing. It is really violent. Although I'd like to think it's like Looney Tunes violence, but with real world results, like giant mallet, like cartoon style mallet that actually breaks a bone and you see the bone sticking out and stuff. It's like crazy. But like at the core of it, the story is about someone getting out of a really bad relationship.
Yeah, there's a real plot.
Yeah.
And a real like center and heart to this dumb superhero
and
joke show.
And I think that's what helps. I think that's what really makes it, for sure.
You know, and the popularity of the character nowadays.
Sure, sure.
I'd say it's better than the Harley Quinn comics, and those are good.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the stuff that they're doing in this is pulling somewhat
from those,
at least the early ones. But yeah, I would say that it's like the more, because it's in a 22-minute format, it's they've refined it down to like the essence of, you know, each story arc or whatever. And it's just, I love it.
So watch that.
So it's yeah, good. Watch it. Okay.
I just wish it wasn't on DC Universe.
Well, yeah. There are other means.
I understand that, but I meant for like, you know,
everybody.
Just in general.
No, I agree. And you know what? In a year or two, it's going to end up on the HBO app.
Yeah.
Like everything else.
Watch this in any way you can. Wink, wink, wink.
Wink, wink, wink.
It should be on Adult Swim. It should be on television.
I agree.
Or at least Netflix. It should be somewhere where people will watch it because it is good and it deserves more than one season.
Yep, I agree.
I'm glad that the season order is 13 episodes, mm-hmm. too.
Oh, man. Speaking of, like, seasons and stuff, I have been watching Steven Universe Future.
Mm, yeah.
It is good.
Really?
Yep. It is really, really good. Like, it takes the kind of beginning theme of the movie and just kind of carries it on with some stuff from the end of the other series.
We really need to get caught up.
Yeah, we're so behind on Steven Universe.
Okay, so remind me, is this a brand new series with characters in the couple years down the line, or is it like the next season?
It's technically its own series.
Okay.
I mean, Steven Universe Future is its title. It's not just like a name of like a bit like Adventure Time you used to do.
Okay, sure.
It's a limited series, and it's basically, I think it's basically putting a cap on everything.
Oh, so this limited series is the epilogue.
Basically, yeah.
Okay, interesting. That's an interesting way to do it.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
And it takes place for...
Isn't, like, Steven's, like, graduating high school?
Well, he never went to school.
Oh. Where did I get that? I don't know. I saw a clip. I thought he mentioned something about... Well, maybe they were talking about Connie.
There is a school, and Steven is the head of it. But it's not for him.
Wow, I need to catch up. Because that, wow, that, why, what, that, I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
Do you want me to elaborate?
No,
it's okay, go ahead.
I'm so far out in left field here.
Yeah, but like Steven has like a driver's license and he drives Greg's car that Greg never drives. And
okay. So cool. So
yeah, he's like 16?
Okay,
maybe
so
a little older?
A bit of a jump. Okay,
cool. He has a neck now.
Yeah, he has a neck
now. Oh, even better.
He grew a neck.
And his voice sounds more grown up and everything.
Well, sure. I'm sure they had to do something like that.
Because the voice actor was growing up.
Yeah. This is a limited series. Do you know how long it's going to be lasting? Or is it getting pretty close to wrapping up? Or what's the deal?
Like I'm getting near the end of it. Mm-hmm. They've had 10 episodes.
Okay. Well, they might be doing like the 13, the limited run, maybe. Or, you know, you never know.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, I really enjoy it. There aren't a lot of songs. Like, it took to like episode 4 or 5 before they finally had one.
Hmm. Well, maybe they got all of the songs out of their system in the movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The movie was basically a musical.
Mm.
Don't get me wrong. I liked the movie, but it was just like song.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Rebecca Sugar just wants to rest this one out.
Yeah, right.
I mean, maybe. But like I said, the song they did do was really, really good. And it was Lapis' song, too.
Oh, nice.
Everything looks good. I like it's basically the essence of this series or whatever is Steven Universe dealing with fallout of everything and like trying to basically form his own identity.
I guess outside of being a crystal gem or something.
Well, more of outside of being what he is.
Gotcha.
Not so much being a crystal gem, just being what he is.
Gotcha.
And he has a slew of new power. Well, not a slew of new power, but he has a very powerful new power that manifests kind of negatively.
Oh, okay.
Tied to his emotions.
He turns into TKO from KO. Okay, KO.
I know.
I couldn't remember the full name of the show.
Did we just kind of guess it?
Not really.
You're wincing like we've kind of guessed it.
Well, it's kind of...
TKO is like the Shadow the Hedgehog of...
Yeah.
KO, but...
KO, yeah.
It's not quite like that, but it's definitely a something that maybe Rose didn't do in her later life, but maybe did in her more earlier life. There's one episode where they kind of deal with some past traumas from that.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? Don't spoil anymore.
I'm trying not to. I'm not trying not to. But
yeah, because I'm sure we'll revisit this once the limited series is over and once you guys have gotten caught back up and I, you know, read the Wikipedia article on it to try to get myself. Because, you know, we're being honest here. That's what happens. Okay, so we have a couple minutes left before the break, and I am going to explode if I don't talk about cats.
Okay, please let loose about cats.
Okay, so
are you the Jellicle choice?
Seeing as what happens to the Jellicle choice, I don't know if I want to be the Jellicle
That's
choice.
That's true.
So, yeah. So I went with a group. A whole bunch of us went to see Cats, the musical, based solely because we heard it was a horrible, hideous train wreck.
Cats, the movie, based on the musical.
Based on the musical Cats. Andrew Lloyd Webber's The Cats, because, yeah. So, yeah, we went as a big, big, huge group. We're like, oh, man, we're just going to go. We're going to have a good time. We're going to, you know, have a beer or two and then enjoy like how bad this movie is. None of us were prepared. Hey, listen, if you've been listening to this show for any stretch of amount of time, or chances are you probably know us in real life if you're listening to the show, you know that I love bad movies. I was not prepared for the level of bad this movie was. Like, I knew that the Cats musical had like little to no plot. It's basically we're going to a scene, we're introducing a cat, they're going to sing a song, we move to the next scene.
It's about the artistry and the dancing and the presentation.
Yeah, and I mean in that sense there is dancing. dancing more like a lot of weird sexual writhing.
Well, that and dancing isn't as impressive.
In real life.
It's more impressive in real life than it is just recorded because, you know, they got infinite takes.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is...
You can do it, buddy. I believe in you.
It's difficult because I think my brain has, like, decided that this was such a traumatic event going to see Cats that it's like... It's like trying to protect me. And it's like, yeah, some 20 years down the line, I'm going to wake up in a cold sweat and go, oh, God, Cats.
Mr. Mesopheles.
Oh, man. He is the most magical cat. There are multiple cats with actual magical powers in this movie. It's like nothing was good. The CG was I swear up and down that we got the bad version, because one of the things we would have talked about, you know, if we had a show last week was the CG was rushed when the movie was sent to theaters. So they had to put out like almost like a video game DLC style patch to fix a lot of the CG. I swear we got the bad one because boy, oh boy, Dame Judi Dench's hand, like unfurred hand, was in an awful lot of scenes.
You got the bad one then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was a lot of like gray amorphous blobs with human faces bobbing up and down in the background. One character had a collar that would float up and down like apropos of nothing.
Yep,
so
we got the bad one.
We got the bad one. And oh boy. Yeah, there is a scene in which Rebel Wilson, who is a cat, rips off her own skin to reveal other cat skin and a dancing leotard underneath it. But and then eats a bunch of cockroaches with human faces.
I saw a gif of those. Those are weird.
Oh, yeah. No, she is just like popping them in her mouth during her entire dance number while also like ripping her skin up. She does it multiple times. Oh, it's bad. The cats change size. There is a tap dancing cat that does. I forget what the cat's name is, but it's like a railway cat. It like works at the railway or whatever. And there's a scene where it's like tap dancing, like it's inside a train car with a bunch of cats. And it's like, you know, pretty good size. And then it cuts, flashes to outside while they're tap dancing on like a train rail. And they're like the size of a train rail. And like, that's not right. That's not how cats do.
If you can't remember their names, it's because they all have the dumbest names you could ever imagine.
Oh, yeah. They're very bad.
Rumpelteazer.
Rumpelteazer is a cat.
Oh.
McCavity. Oh.
Rum-tum-tugger.
Rum-tum-tugger, the horny cat. Actually, I take that back. All those cats in that movie were horny, but that one, Rum-tum-tugger, was the horniest of cats.
I saw a picture of Sir Ian McKellen's like close-up of his face.
There is a part of a song where he is, that is Gus, Asparagus, the theater cat. He is, they're like introducing his character, and like all of the cats are speaking English and singing, and it cuts like square, like center screen of Sir Ian McKellen going meow 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 meow. It was insane. It was insanity. He then lapped milk out of a bowl like a cat. Poor old Sir Ian McKellen lapping milk like a cat.
But yeah, I saw like a close up and like they didn't really alter his face all that much.
They didn't alter any of the faces.
But like
they have human noses.
Oh yeah.
Why do these cats have human noses? Yeah,
I'm like looking at his face and I'm seeing like the bits of hair off to the side and I'm like, you look like a monkey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Okay. So the weirdest thing was, okay, some cats wear clothing.
Some do not.
Some do not, which makes the non-cloth-wearing cats even more seem even more
what
nude.
What was that one tweet about?
I saw a tweet the other day that said Idris Elba had invented a new kind of nudity.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. Okay, so Idris Elba plays the bad guy cat, McCavity, and during the first half of the movie,
McCavity.
But no, for the first half of the movie, he is wearing like a giant fur coat and like a hat. So, and he just looks like Idris, weird black cat, Idris Elba, wearing like a pimp coat and a hat. And then at some point he is introduced and he has removed the hat and coat. And because his cat color is black, is the same color as his natural skin color, he just looks like a nude man dancing on the screen. It gets weirder because the song introducing McCavity halfway through the movie that Taylor Swift with boobs, Boob Cat, sings, she describes him as a weird orange cat that has caused every human crime. But he's not orange in the movie. He's a black cat in the movie because his actor was black.
They didn't want you to mistake him for Garfield.
That's it. That's it. They didn't want you to, But so this movie ends with, and I'm spoiling it because who cares? So
everybody knows.
Cat. Yeah. They put what's her name? Grisabella, the old lady hag cat into a basket attached to a hot air balloon and launch her into the sun.
Okay, that's different than the stage version.
Yeah, no, that's it. They launch her into the sun, never to be seen or heard from again.
I think in the stage version, don't they get in a tire and they lift the tire up?
They lift the tire up, and no, this is a full-blown like Wizard of Oz style hot air balloon that just floats up into space.
That's the Jellicle choice.
Oh my God. Listen, don't see this movie. Don't spend your money on it. Don't do it. Don't do it. This might sound like fun, me making goofs and talking about things. Don't do it. Save yourself. Save your money. Save yourself. It's a bad. They did a bad job. All right. Well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll get into a little bit of news.
Hey, we're back. That was the Bill Murray lounge singer skit from SNL where he makes up lyrics to the Star Wars theme.
a classic.
Yeah.
Very good.
I mean, there's not really a song title on there, but that's what we played.
Yeah, it's close enough. Yeah. So, hey, speaking of Star Wars, before we get into the news, let's talk about Rise of Skywalker or Rise of the Skywalker.
What is it called? I don't know.
Rise of Skywalker.
Rise of Skywalker.
It's not a good title for a mediocre at best movie.
Yeah. So hey, so it's been about a couple of weeks or a month since the movie was released. So we're gonna go into spoilers. So yeah.
But if you're worried about spoilers, I'm gonna tell you right now before we get into anything, there's nothing really. Getting spoiled on this movie isn't going to change your enjoyment of it. There's nothing really surprising or...
Right, but...
It's not really going to make a difference.
But so if it's something you're really really worried about, if you haven't seen it at this point and you're worried about spoilers, one, that's kind of on you, and two...
At
this point, it's kind of on you. Well, yeah, but...
if you've managed to avoid spoilers for this long...
Congratulations.
Maybe we'll get you a trophy.
Yeah, right. But yeah, we're gonna talk about some stuff. So the first thing I want to mention is, hey, guess who called it?
Yeah.
Guess who called the thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, if you recall the last episode a few weeks ago, we were talking about predictions because we did a show like the weekend that it had come out. And we hadn't seen it yet, and one of the things, just the oddball, jokiness thing that I think I've said was just like, oh, what if she's a Palpatine? What if she's like related to Emperor Palpatine? Oh, isn't that funny?
Yeah, and then I said, you're probably right.
And guess what? Nailed it.
It's just like when we did the same thing for the first new movie,
mm-hmm.
and we called that Han Solo dies.
Yeah, pretty much.
We're like 2 for 2 on
this. We're 2 for 2 on those, yeah.
I don't think we did predictions for... the middle one.
Well, the fact is we wouldn't have been able to predict anything that happened in the middle one.
Because it went out of its way to...
Not be predictable. Yeah. But, so what do you guys think of Rey having actual parentage and, like, the closed loop of Force-sensitive super families in the universe of Star Wars?
I hated it.
It sucks. It's, like, weirdly genetic superiority like undertones that I don't care for.
Yeah. Like, I guess I'm not as... Yeah, it sucks.
It was a cop out.
Yeah. It's weird that it's like the second one, Force Awakens.
The Last Jedi was the second one.
Last Jedi was the second one. These names are not very memorable. Last Jedi kind of went out of its way to say, hey, anyone can be... You don't have to be anyone particular to be special.
You don't have to be a Skywalker. You don't have to be an Obi-Wan Kenobi to be a Force user.
Everybody can have the Force. The Force is for everybody. In fact, they showed that little kid with the broom there at the end of that movie. And then this one like seems like it doubled down and went like, oh, nope, guess what? Nope, everybody has to be a Skywalker. Mostly. If you want to be an important...
Yeah, if you want to be a big-time Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I get what you're saying, and you are right. But at the same time, they do kind of a mild theme in this new movie is the fact that average people do kind of have a connection to the Force, sort of, because
everybody has a little bit of Force sensitivity.
Like Finn keeps talking about through the whole movie how he has like this weird feeling or something,
mm-hmm.
or something.
Yeah,
like,
but they never pay off on it.
No, they don't. They don't ever. Though he does kind of have a conversation with that other ex-stormtrooper lady about it.
Oh, can we talk about her real quick?
Yeah, let's do it.
They sideline Kelly Marie Tran the whole movie,
mm-hmm.
which sucks.
Yeah.
Just so they can give Finn a new same race pal to hang out with for the rest of the movie. They introduce several new characters that have no payoff. And there's no reason for them to be there.
Hey, don't you dog on Babu Frick.
Oh, I'm not. I would never dog on Babu Frick. Babu Frick is the best. But
no, it's from the way it sounds, there's a lot of characters that the role could have just been set given to, hey, Kelly Marie Chan, you could have fit this spot. Even like direct lines of dialogue could have been like, hey, just get rid of, what's his name? The Hobbit man. Bobby Moynihan. Not Bobby Moynihan.
Bobby Moynihan.
No, he would have been pretty funny in the movie. No, what's his name? He was Pippin or Periwinkle the Hobbit from...
Periwinkle the Hobbit.
From the Lord of the Rings movies. Yeah, and he was on Lost and he was a friend of J.J. Yeah. Well, whatever. Whatever his name was, there's a guy that he's there specifically because he was friends with J.J. Abrams. So Abrams gave him a gig so that he can make a cool couple million when the lines of dialogue that he had could have just been Rose.
And there's a Kerry Russell has a character that looks cool, is basically like the Rocketeer.
Yeah.
And she exists solely to give Poe someone to no homo.
Yeah.
And she never really does anything. And you spend the whole movie wondering why she's even there.
Well, I'll tell you why she's there. J.J. Abrams worked on Felicity, which was his first show, starring Kerry Russell.
And you don't even see her face.
She probably showed up for one day of filming and one day in the booth and made a couple $1 million.
Hey, she looked cool.
She did look very cool.
She was like, could have been a Mandalorian, but wasn't.
Hey, you know who else looked real cool? Captain Phasma.
Yeah.
Yep. And they didn't do anything with her either.
Yeah.
Man, there is a lot of like extended cast in this film now that I'm thinking about it.
Why are you introducing new characters in the last movie in the finale of your franchise?
Four spinoffs. They're throwing whatever they can at the wall to try to see what sticks.
I watch a Babu Frick spinoff.
Yeah.
when Babu Frick said, hey, I felt that.
Okay. All right. So are there any, do you guys have any positives about the movie?
I mean, I've got plenty of positives.
It didn't feel too long.
I liked the movie. I did. Mm-hmm. I will definitely admit where it was weak.
I like Star Wars enough to where I can admit I had fun with the Star Wars things.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not that joyless of a person that I can't enjoy lightsabers and cool aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all that stuff was good, but if you think about anything in the movie for more than 2 minutes, it's like, oh, that wasn't very good.
Okay. Well, what do you think was the cause of that then? Why do you think that does it feel like it was written on the fly with no afterthought, or do you think that
I think J.J. Abrams isn't creative enough to come up with things that would surprise us or be interesting.
So
all he does is regurgitate like the same tired things that have happened in this franchise before.
So if this movie had a different writer, if J.J. Abrams didn't have like as big an ego to both write and direct this one, would it have turned out better? Because he's visually a great director. I like the stuff, the way things look. He can shoot a film.
Yeah,
I feel like this movie tried to course correct people's negative opinions of The Last Jedi, and they overcorrect way too hard.
Yes.
Okay. Now, how much of this do you think was Disney saying, "Hey, we've got these notes from people on the internet"?
I don't know. I've seen like little snippets in interviews where JJ kind of sounds like he didn't really like
the way it turned out.
The way the other movie, the way
Ryan
Last
Johnson,
Jedi,
yeah,
Ryan Johnson's movie went.
Oh, okay. Well, then that would explain a lot of it, because that's, from what I've been hearing, it sounds like this movie feels like almost like a movie and a half or two movies. Like they had to squeeze two movies worth of stuff into one to get things to where JJ wanted them for the
kinda
end.
Kind of like the later Hobbit movies.
But Josh, you're absolutely right. That's what the problem is they over course correct from the other movie that wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't need a huge course correction.
Also, like I read something online, like people like what is like J.J. Abrams' like obsession with like bloodlines and everything. That's his entire life. He is a literal product of Hollywood bloodlines.
Yeah, both his parents were like super high
producer
types.
Like, yeah, his whole family is.
Sure.
Like,
well, you know, you write what you know.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, and they hardcore double down on the whole weird force connection between Kylo Ren and Rey.
I kind of like that because it lent itself to like cool like fight things.
Oh yeah, like when like Rey puts the lightsaber behind her back and then like it kind of like force teleports to Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you guys think of the romantic implications between Rey and Kylo Ren?
I hated it.
I literally in the theater kind of just threw up my hands and was like, oh, go well.
I mean, they kind of played on it a little bit in the Last Jedi.
Yeah.
There was almost a twinge, but it felt almost as out of left field as Rose confessing her love to Finn in the last one.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. I don't know if they really needed to kiss.
No.
I don't think that was entirely necessary.
But I mean, his whole like redemption thing, we've been seeing that since the first movie. You know, he was definitely the conflicted Sith Lord.
Oh yeah, yeah. The minute he walked on screen in the first one, you knew by the third one he is going to make the Darth Vader, the last act heel turn.
It actually happens. I was surprised how much sooner it happened in the movie.
Mm.
I figured it would be a last minute heel turn, but it kind of, I don't know, like three-fourths of the way through, it happens.
Okay. What did you guys think of Palpatine in the film?
He's mostly in shadow, and you really don't see him.
Yeah. I think it's weird that they bolted him to GLaDOS from Portal.
the couple times, like, the light does flash, he basically just looks like a corpse there.
Yeah, it's very much zombie Palpatine. Like,
oh, really? Okay.
Like, his eyes are all, like, milked over.
Yeah.
And then you see some, like, Snoke clone heads floating in a tank. And
I did like that, too. The way they explain Snoke is that he's just Palpatine made him.
Like literally.
In a tube, made him.
Hmm.
I'm like, that's kind of cool, I guess.
But it goes to the whole thing of, like, Palpatine pulling the strings since the beginning of everything.
Yeah. I've actually heard a theory that Palpatine has been around forever, and the Palpatine that we see in the prequels is a clone that he has been, that he like puppeteered. So like, because a version like Palpatine Prime has been on this Darth planet for like forever with the hoses and whatnot. And every few millennia, he would like make an avatar for himself to send out and do stuff.
I don't know about that, because they kind of make a reference in this film that kind of like, much like kind of like the Avatar universe, like you know, element benders and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you were talking about the blue cats.
No. Different Disney property.
Oh, anyway, don't say cats. Oh, God.
Is there a version of Cats that's performed by the Avatar the people Navi in that world?
Oh, man. And it's all done in like Navi language? Yeah. Oh, that would be a nightmare on top of a nightmare. Oh, my God.
Jake Sully. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it would be like 6 hours long. So anyway. But they make like a reference that like all of the Sith are in Palpatine, which kind of eliminates the rule of two.
Yeah.
You know.
Forget about the rule of two.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they kind of do the same thing with the Jedi with Rey, and like all the Jedi are in her, because there's like this whole thing of like you hear all these voices from the entire 9 movie arc or whatever.
Yeah, there's a ton. They do a ton of Jedi voices. Like Samuel L. Jackson's in there. Ahsoka is in there from Clone Wars.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's pretty cool.
Samuel Jackson, or you said
Qui-Gon.
Qui-Gon. Like you and everybody.
See, that's cool. That's cool that they were able to do that at least.
Oh, you know what sucks?
Oh, and Luke was really weirdly happy.
Yeah. Palpatine has an army of Star Destroyers that have cannons on them that can destroy planets, and that doesn't fit within anything established in any of the other movies. Any other planet destroying weapon previously
was one thing.
It had to be the size of a planet or attached to a planet.
Yeah.
Like, to just suddenly have this jump into, oh, I've got a million planet destroying guns now, doesn't make any sense at all.
Mm.
And they don't explain it in any way. It's just, oh, Sith magic science.
Well, yeah, you'd think, like, you know, if Palpatine made Snoke and everything, and Snoke made the First Order and yada, 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 maybe they should have went out with that first.
Yeah.
Instead of making Death Star 2.5.
Yeah. It just doesn't make sense. Wouldn't it be cool if we had a bunch of Star Destroyers with cannons on them without thinking, like, well, why?
Yeah.
How? Why?
Yeah, like, it sounds like a lot of the movie was just said as, like, why? Okay, how did Billy Dee Williams do?
It was fine.
Yeah.
He seemed happy to be there.
Yeah. Walk around the cane.
He's having a little bit of trouble.
They do a weird like thing with the what's her name? Janna? Is that the stormtrooper girl?
I don't remember her name.
That like kind of implies that maybe they're related, but they don't go right out and say it. And it almost sounds like somewhere between let's find out if you're my daughter or maybe I'm hitting on you. Like, didn't it feel it that way?
Yeah,
like,
it was
like
weird.
Either you're asking if you're my daughter or you're hitting on me.
Sounds like a Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like a Star War. Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, where are you from? And she's like, I don't know. Because, well, let's find out.
Do you think that is setting up like a Star Wars spinoff starring Lando and Janna?
I guess if they want to.
If they wanted to do Disney Plus it.
Disney Plus Lando would be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool.
The Lando Marvel comic was really good.
Lando was the only good thing in Solo, a Star Wars tale.
Mm-hmm.
I still need to watch that. I know it's bad, but...
It's pretty bad. It's not a good one.
I mean, it has its moments, but it's definitely... Like, after like the rousing success of Rogue One, Solo felt
even
hollow.
Even worse.
I want to slip into the alternate neighboring universe where we got Lord and Miller Solo and we got Edgar Wright Ant-Man.
Mm. You know what? I didn't have a problem with Ant-Man.
Well,
though.
Yeah, Ant-Man was great, but I think Edgar Wright Ant-Man would be
better. Pretty great. Yeah, that'd be a lot better. I agree with that.
Yeah, I'm not trying to slight Ant-Man. I love Ant-Man.
All right. Do we have any other things to talk about with this? We touched on the Poe Dameron thing a little bit with Carrie Russell.
The whole thing with like Poe Dameron, like, and this like just rushing his. Oh, I used to be kind of a
dirty boy.
I used to be a dirty crook before I joined the Resistance. It's like maybe you should have started off with that.
Yeah, maybe you should have showed instead of just tell.
Like
good movies too.
Like seriously, like it felt like they hurried up and built him to be the new Han Solo.
Oh, everything is just so rushed in this whole movie, and that's part of the reason why you never like get invested in anything. You never feel like truly invested because it's constantly just hopping from one thing to the next. You have no time to decompress, process what's happening.
So do you think if there is a, if they do a Lord of the Rings style director's cut version of that is like they add an extra half hour, 45 minutes back into the film? Because I imagine a lot of this stuff has been shot and just was cut out for time. Do you think that would improve the film any?
It might, but I think...
I don't know. There is so much going on. Like, you're wading through it, like, waist deep.
Yeah. I think the core is too broken to even... You'd just be slapping
more stuff
in the pile.
I don't think an extended cut would really...
A Snyder cut.
Oh, God. There are people already talking about release the JJ cut of
the movie is the JJ.
This movie is the JJ cut. Yeah, no, I know.
There was even lens flare.
Yeah, of course there was. Was there a lightsaber made out of lens flare?
No.
Aww.
Unfortunately not.
Aww.
I don't know. Like, oh, another thing is like they finally show the Knights of Ren, and there's no payoff.
They're just like Kylo Ren's like emo boy band pals.
Who don't even have lightsabers.
Yeah.
Something tells me that at some point the Knights of Ren were supposed to be the Red Guard that were guarding Snoke in the second one. And they decided to write him out at the last,
Snoke's guards were way cooler than the Knights of Ren.
The fight scene in Snoke's room was better than any fight scene in this movie.
I mean, that end fight with Kylo versus the Knights of Ren was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was cool. But, like, the fight between Rey and Kylo on the Death Star part when they're...
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't very good. Also, they steal a trick from the Goonies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did they have to offer Sloth a baby Ruth?
No, they have a little... They have a Sith dagger that's showing them where this waif... They have a MacGuffin to find the other MacGuffin.
Okay.
And it has a little pull-out thing... on it to point to the exact cave on the wrecked Death Star where the thing is, just like that scene in the Goonies.
Oh, yeah, the Sith vault in the Death Star 2.
Yeah. Yeah, it pulls down just like the thing in the Goonies.
That, huh.
Oh, yeah. Also, spoiler alert, the vault was right next to Palpatine's throne on the Death Star, too, where it, you know, you think it would have been.
Wow. Also, super spoilery, the very end, Rey goes back to Tatooine to literally Luke's original home.
To the Beru farm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Beru moisture farm.
And decides I'm going to live there. Like, it's implied that she's going to live there. And she takes up the name Skywalker.
Oh.
And it's like, wow, you went back to the place that Luke hated and wanted to get out of by any means necessary.
Including joining the Empire.
Yeah. So you went there.
Huh.
Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Also, how would she have known about it?
That is a good point.
It's Luke's Force ghost was like, hey, peering over his shoulder's head. Hey.
It's free real estate.
Yes. Yes.
And then some random lady is like going by and goes, hey, no one's lived here for years. Who are you?
I'm Rey. Rey Skywalker.
I saw someone make a joke like they ask Rey where she, you know, who she is, and she looks over and she sees the Force ghost of Luke and Leia, and she goes, I'm Rey. Rey, Luke, and Leia.
Which, like, a way to spit on your actual parents who made a huge sacrifice to get you to safety away from Palpatine.
Yeah. And like, that dude was Palpatine's son, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about it, and I'm like thinking about like when the Clone War started.
I thought it was the daughter.
No, the son.
The son? Okay.
The son. And it's like, what lady? Unless she was like some weird Sith cultist.
Yeah, who did Palpatine...
Palpitate.
Sire a child with.
I don't want to think about that.
Good. Good.
Do it. Do it.
Oh my God. But seriously, like, there was so much potential.
Squandered. And it, like, I don't know. If you like Star Wars, you're not going to hate it. I mean, I'm really hard on it, but I didn't hate it.
I mean, I still think it's more enjoyable than most of the stuff from the prequels.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All the new stuff has been better than the prequels, at least.
Yeah, it's not boring.
Yeah, it's not Batman v Superman. Like, I wasn't bored.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, I think that pretty well wraps up the Star Wars talk. But let's, we have time for like one or two news things to kind of pad things out.
The Uncharted movie has its sixth director.
Wow.
Six.
You want to talk about like development hell?
Yeah.
Between this and the Gambit movie.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. They were doing a Gambit movie.
Yeah. With Channing Tatum.
Wow. I forgot.
I think most of the internet forgot.
Yeah.
I think an Uncharted movie doesn't make any sense because the games themselves are basically movies where you have to stop and shoot people every 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Uncharted movies, the games are taken very heavily from, like, Raiders of the Lost Ark and stuff, right?
Yeah, it's
Guy Tomb Raider.
Yeah, Guy Tomb Raider, which is girl Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
It's been in development so long that Mark Wahlberg was originally Nathan Drake, and now he's Nathan Drake's older, kind of, like, teacher.
Father figure,
Sully.
Wow.
And Tom Holland is now Nathan Drake.
He's too young.
But by the time the movie comes out, he'll be old enough to be
Nathan
Drake.
He'll be the new Sully.
Yeah, he'll be the new Sully.
Yeah.
He's Sully too.
They'll get Mark Wahlberg's Force Ghost.
Mark Wahlberg was good casting for the...
Oh, sure. Yeah, at the time, but now, yeah. Yeah.
Also, Poe Dameron was dressed like Nathan Drake for almost the entirety of that movie.
He really was, like scarf around his neck and everything.
Yeah, it was weird. I leaned over to you and I'm like, why did they dress Poe like Nathan Drake?
Like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, I didn't realize the Star Wars universe had smogs.
Let's talk about Marvel stuff for a second.
For about a second.
WandaVision got pushed up to this year instead of next year.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm super pumped.
The Marvel thing that I'm most excited about because it looks so bonkers.
It looks weird. Yeah. Yeah, this whole thing with Wanda, they've really only shown a couple of like concept arts, right? Like,
yeah, that's it.
Well, they showed a screenshot, and it looks like a Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yeah,
screenshot.
It's like set in like the '50s. Like,
wasn't there a comic that was like this?
Well, The Visions was a comic where The Vision created a robot family for himself, and it was kind of like that. From what I understand, they are introducing one of the two children from the Visions as their kid. So they're getting away from the
robot wife.
They're getting away from the robot wife. But when in the comics, when Scarlet Witch and Vision were married, Scarlet Witch had a couple of twin boys. As it turns out, they were manifestations of her reality altering powers. And once someone convinced her that, hey, you can't have babies with a robot, they disappeared and she went crazy.
Huh.
So this could be part of her like reality altering powers, like kicking in and her kind of warping things or creating pocket universes.
You know, that's like one thing I've noticed about the Marvel movies is they really don't even kind of remotely touch what all Scarlet Witch can do.
I think that's what this is going to start doing, because she is a major character in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. So I'm thinking a lot of her reality altering, you know, multiverse hopping kind of crazy powers.
Maybe we'll get a House of M.
Yeah. Well, I mean, mutants. Yeah, they can do it now. So. But yeah, I'm super pumped for WandaVision. I think it's going to be super great.
I think she's been an underutilized character in the MCU.
I agree. All right, well, we have reached the end of the show, so thank you all for tuning in. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can give us a call on the Nerd Overload hotline and give us your questions, comments, Star Wars opinions. Give us a call at 586-372-8020 and leave a message.
That's right. We're also on various podcast catchers like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and more. So if you like the show and you want to listen to some of the back episodes, we're over there. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/nerdoverload now. So if you like the show and you want to, you know, help us out a little bit.
Toss a coin to your podcaster.
There we go. I like that. But you can go over there. And one of the things you can do is you can get the show a few days early, which is pretty awesome. And I'd like to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. Find more of his stuff over at davidpencil.com. And so, yeah, I think that's pretty well got it. So, again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out.